This episode of the Anti-Football Podcast was recorded before the announcement of the European Super League. For our thoughts on the European Super League, tune in to our next episode. Hello and welcome to the Anti-Football Podcast. My name is Chris. As always, I'm joined by the lovely, the wonderful, the absolutely, the just fabulous, the brilliant Harry. We tried recording this yesterday, we tried recording it today, and it hasn't worked both times. But hopefully, you know, touch wood, it's actually working today. How are you, Harry? How's you been?
Okay, how have you been?
Oh, fucking hell, I thought... Oh, you know, there needs to be a bit of back and forth. Come on, fucking hell, like, get stuff going, you know. One word answers from you, honestly.
I'm not here for the small talk.
I don't like you, fucking hell. Like, I just want to do this and get out. You know, fucking hell, Harry, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, when you hurry up, Chelsea game's on the same day.
Yeah, that is a good point, to be fair. I won't piss about. So, we'll get into his first game that we have a Friday kickoff. Wolves, it was squeaky bum time for them, and they ended up producing Adama Traore getting a 92nd minute winner against Fulham. What were your thoughts on this game?
Fulham were probably hard done by. They had the majority of the chances, and, you know, they were just completely undone in the dying embers of the game. Haha, lol, you lose.
It was definitely a tight game. I think that, Fulham, they really took it to Wolves, and I think, you know, a draw probably would have been a fair result, but if you'd have said anyone to get the win, you'd have assumed that it would have been Fulham, especially from that first half. Fulham were all over Wolves. I think the second half, they sort of came into it more. I think, obviously, Pedro Neto getting injured, that didn't help them at all, really. I think the introduction of João Moutinho sort of slowed the pace down for Wolves. But, yeah, I mean, they definitely got saved by Adama Traore, who hadn't scored or assisted in the previous 17 months before this game. He definitely... What's that?
Yeah, but he's fast, so...
Exactly, yeah. If he could play football, he'd be a brilliant footballer, would Traore. But, yeah, this was... gutting loss for Fulham at a time where they really did need a win. It was a pretty, I'm not going to say a winnable game, but it's, you know, it was a winnable game. And when they've, you know, got Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, all still to play, Fulham could end up regretting not picking up those 3 points then. It was very tight and Fulham could probably feel hard done by. But at this stage of the season, you know, every point counts, and if you can't take your chances, then you're knackered.
Well, I think that just sums up the reason that they're down there. Their strikes have been piss poor.
Mm.
I thought Mitrovic might have, you know, done something for them, considering him come right off hot form with the Serbia internationals and then scoring immediately in the games following that. I thought he would be right up for it, but obviously not.
Yeah, obviously, at the end of his little purple patch there, it's just so strange because, like, you look at the previous two seasons, he got double figures. He got 11 goals in Fulham's last Premier League season in a Fulham side that got relegated, you know. So to get double figures, that's, you know, good going. The season after that, in the Championship, he got 26 goals. He was the top scorer in the Championship that season. So, like, I don't know why he's just not been good, because he's got a better team around him. So,
yeah. I mean, how many did he get in that in the seasons at Newcastle?
At Newcastle, he barely got a game at Newcastle, if I remember correctly. And I know that Rafa wasn't a huge fan of Mitrovic. He didn't sort of suit the way that he wanted to play.
Well, the lack of, you know, goal scorers can come, you know, can be blamed on the fact that they weren't all that great in the transfer market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ademola Lookman on loan, and he's not been all that great out on the wing.
I don't know. I think Lookman's been all right. I think he's been decent.
I don't know. I just feel like he's a bit of a cocky player.
Hmm.
I don't see him going back to Leipzig next season.
No. Oh, no, I don't think he's good enough to go to, you know, a club, you know, the quality of Leipzig. I mean, like, Leipzig are doing well in Bundesliga. I think they're, if I recall correctly, I think they're the only team close to challenging Bayern Munich. So.
Yeah, they're 7 points off, as we speak.
Mm. Yeah, so they're not winning the league, realistically, but, you know. Mind you, most of that's down to the defence, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, but that was a different story in the Champions League, where it was completely abysmal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it looks like, you know, they're probably going to be gutted for RB Leipzig in summer. I mean, Nagelsmann's being touted by Bayern Munich. Konate apparently only has a £38 million release clause.
Going to Liverpool,
yeah, Liverpool apparently really keen, which at that price you're going to be, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, 21 years old and he's already a quality centre-half. But yeah, I mean, as for the former Wolves game, again, Wolves, you know, they've just been really underwhelming this season. I don't know whether it's just because of a lack of fans. I don't know whether it's because of injuries. I mean, obviously, the Raul Jimenez injury hasn't done them any favours, and especially considering William Jose has been pretty shite since coming in January.
Fabio Silva is not worth 40 million.
Well, we can't say that yet. I mean,
any signs indicating to the potential even close to that figure, though.
Well, yeah, but he's literally still a teenager. Like, he's 18 years old.
Yeah, but I don't know what they saw at Porto for them to think, yeah, that's, yeah, we're happy paying that.
Well, I mean, they clearly must have seen summer, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess, but 40 million, that's... He's probably one of those players who have been highly talked of, and when it comes to the senior game, they don't deliver.
Mm.
Like Bebe.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's still only 18. I mean, it's not like he's 22, 23. I mean, I think it's still far too early to write him off yet. I think a loan move will do him the world of good. Maybe back to Portugal. Maybe he wants to drop down to the Championship. But I do think a loan move would do him quite a bit of good. But, I mean, for Wolves, it has been a disappointing season, I think, especially considering the standards that they've held themselves to over the past couple of seasons. And apparently, you know, I don't know how much truth there is in this, but apparently Nuno's job could potentially be in jeopardy. I mean, what would your thoughts be if... Wolves ended up sacking Nuno.
Incredibly short-sighted. I think, you know, yes, they have underperformed the season, but I think that's due to the Jimenez injury, as we mentioned. Also, Johnny was out for a while. I don't think there's been enough investment in core players. I mean, you know, spending 40 million on a teenager wasn't very clever, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the past...
He's next to the backup option to Jimenez. If their intent was... Obviously, if Jimenez was, you know, fit, what he'd just be rotting on the bench. That's a lot of money to be putting into a player.
Yeah.
I think sacking him is very harsh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not like Wolves haven't spent money. Well, let's get that straight. I mean, like...
No, I mean, they haven't spent money wisely. They've not spent it on strengthening the squad for now. They've worked on, oh, well, you know, the squad's strong enough now. Let's buy some people for the future. That's what.
Yeah, but how much of that is Nuno and how much of that is the board? You don't know that.
Good point.
Like, you know, different, you know, clubs have different regulations on who, you know, who deals with all the transfer stuff. I mean, you know, a club like Man United, the manager has barely any say in the signings. Or Arsenal, the manager has barely any say in the signings. Whereas if you go, you know, look at Burnley, Sheffield United before they sacked Wilder, I know they were very hands-on in terms of their own signings. So, yeah, it all depends on which club, yeah.
But they were selling players and they weren't replacing them. The likes of Doherty, the likes of Jota. I know Helder Costa was out on loan to Leeds, but, you know, that could have been a good player to, you know, keep, considering they lost Jota.
Well, they did replace Doherty. I mean, not well, but they did replace him. And yeah, I do agree that Jota wasn't replaced. I mean, I don't know if they're expecting Fabio Silva to do that. I don't know if the I don't know what really. But yeah, I think that they have regressed this season, definitely.
Well, they brought in Ike Nori on loan. I thought he would have been decent for them. He's not been all that great.
Yeah. Same with Vitinha as well. Brought him on loan and he hasn't really done much either.
No, that's true. I think the best signing, and you know, that's, you know, and you know, air marks, is probably Cueva.
Yeah.
Because he's actually been in that right back spot that Semedo's meant to be in.
Yeah, I mean, Semedo just hasn't been good at all this season. I mean, Barcelona have really had Wolves' pants down there, getting them to pay £27 million for Semedo. And yeah, he's just not lived up to the hype, you know. But yeah, I think that... Yeah, it's been poor. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next season with Wolves, whether they do, you know, go out and try and spend £100 million again, whether they try to put more faith into young players, whether they sack Nuno, whether they keep him. It'll definitely be interesting to keep an eye on, also. But yeah, I mean, is there all else you're wanting to add on there?
No.
No, right. I mean, I guess we'll move on to... probably one of the shock results this season. Man City... You know, losing 2-1 to Leeds after Leeds went down to 10 men. I mean, first off, what were your thoughts on the red card? Did you think it was a red? And second off, you know, what were your thoughts on this game as a whole?
Definite red. Shocking win. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really impact too much. You know, the title's going to go to City regardless.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. But it's just, you know, it is a shock result. I mean, this is sort of indicative of Guardiola football, his sort of brand of football at its worst. You know, it was just sort of sluggish, moving the ball about, you know, no urgency, no, you know, no thrust in the team. There was just, you know, it was very sluggish.
At times they were trying to walk it in the net.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, obviously, Pep rotated quite heavily. You know, I mean, putting, like, Zinchenko in midfield. Ferran Torres hasn't been a regular starter this season. You know, play Nathan Ake as well. You know, he started quite a few players who don't usually start. But, I mean, that team was definitely more than good enough to go out and beat Leeds. Leeds, you know, for all, you know, everyone's saying Bielsa can't defend, you know, the Leeds, you know, they can't defend the lead, basically. I mean, they just shut a lot of people up, including myself. They defended completely admirably. And yeah, it was just a brilliant defensive performance from Leeds.
Agreed. I felt like they, up top, say they lack an aerial presence. Not coming from the centre-backs. So perhaps they need to be looking at two strikers. One, you know, obviously to play first team, you know, their, you know, usual striker. Then one that can come off the bench that can provide a, you know, different option when going forward.
Well, I can't see him replacing Bamford, realistically.
I'm on about City.
Oh, City. Oh, right. Yeah, definitely. I think Jesus's best position is out wide. I don't think he suits being a number nine at all, really. And yeah, like you say, they just needed something different because it just wasn't working for them this game. It was definitely poor. And you think if they need one smaller striker and one bigger striker, they just go out and buy Mbappe and Haaland.
Yeah, I mean, they can now with UEFA Fair Play gone, but I mean, I don't know what kind of money you'd be looking at for Mbappe.
Oh, well, you'd think, you know, you'd be looking at like that 150 million, you know, just to PSG. That's not including, you know, agent fees, signing on bonuses, loyalty bonuses, wages. Overall, you're probably looking at about 200 million.
No way.
Yeah, I mean,
worth 222 million.
Yeah, think at what Neymar went for. Mbappe will go for a similar price.
I think it'll go for more than that because the market's inflated.
Yeah, that is true. It's not like PSG need the money either.
The PSG, it's a different story between Mbappe and Neymar because Neymar wanted to leave, whereas Mbappe seemed very happy at, you know, PSG.
I can't see any clubs matching PSG's asking price for Mbappe for quite a while, to be honest with you. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he stuck at Mbappe at PSG for the rest of his career, to be completely honest with you.
100%.
Unless, you know, the Qataris that own PSG. Is it the UAE? It's one of them. Unless the Middle Easterners pull the money out. You know, I can't see them leaving.
Well, I think PSG makes them a lot of money.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I'm not saying they don't. But I'm just saying if that were to happen. But yeah, I mean, it was just brilliant defending from Leeds. I mean, fair play to them. I think it definitely helped that they had Phillips who could drop back and sort of sit in that centre half role. And so they basically played with like 4-4-1. But yeah, it was a brilliant performance from Leeds. There's not really that much else to say, really, unless you're wanting an adult one.
No.
Right, well, we'll move on to Liverpool getting revenge on Aston Villa, beating them 2-1, a 90th minute Trent goal with absolute screamer. Firmino earlier on had a goal ruled out for offside. I mean, in my opinion, it was bollocks, but I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that and this game as a whole.
Didn't look like a knackered Liverpool, but I didn't feel like Villa looked all that great. I don't understand why he would sign Sanson and then barely use him. I think that's a very good player to have in midfield.
I think it's... sorry to interrupt you, but I think it's more of a case of the signing Sanson because Barkley probably isn't... He's probably going back to Chelsea come the end of the season. I think he started off really well, but he sort of trailed off. And he's almost looking lazy now. I mean, he's just not looking up to his standards that he set for himself earlier in the season at all. So I think he's probably going back, and I think Sanson will sort of take his place in the squad.
Well, good. Great, Sanson. Yeah, I thought McGinn setting up Watkins was good. I mean, he's been very underrated, McGinn.
Yeah, I mean, this season he's probably been a little bit quiet, but, you know, you consider the sort of latter half of this season, along with last season, and yeah, he was very good. And Watkins actually, you know, he's scoring in this game. He scored against Fulham. He was on a pretty dry run the past few games. Before that, he hadn't had a goal since the game against Arsenal on the 6th of February. So he seems to be hitting a little bit of form again to match his earlier season. Obviously, that's his 15th goal in all competitions this season. He's been a really good signing for Villa. Even if he was... he did look very expensive in the summer. You know, £32 million for a Championship player. But it looks like he could turn out to be worth it.
That English tax that you say. Yeah, well, the offside... with VAR, I think if you can't see it with the naked eye, don't get the lines out. Because I just feel it, you know, it's becoming too interventional at that point.
Yeah, 100%.
If it's coming down to, you know, literal millimetres, I don't think that's much of an exact advantage, is it?
No. No. But yeah, I mean, Liverpool going into half-time 1-0 down. Obviously, you know, obviously Klopp must have had a word or something because they came out in that second half looking far better. Salah ended up equalising for him, and then a 90th minute screamer from Trent. Cutting in from the left-hand side. And it almost makes you wonder, is right-back his best position? Because this season, his defending has been absolutely awful. You know, I mean, obviously, last season, parts of the season before, he was, you know, one of the best right-backs in terms of just form in the world. His defending was always a weakness, but it wasn't really that prevalent until this season. He just got to think, would he be better off moving into midfield? Especially since this season, it hasn't worked out well for him.
Yeah, I definitely don't think out wide's his position because, well, he's given the ball away the most times because his crossing and long passes are absolute shite.
Oh, just a second, Harry. I have to cut you off there. I just need... Right, I'm back. Go on, you're on about Trent.
Yeah, I was saying that I don't think anywhere out wide is the best position for him because his crossing is poor, his long passes are poor, and, you know, obviously you mentioned that he can't defend, so right back is obviously not his best position. I reckon centre midfielder is his best position.
Yeah, it does seem like that could be something that would benefit him. You know, obviously... You know, we saw he was in a sort, he occupied a sort of midfielder role for that goal. But yeah, I just want to ask you really quickly as well before we move on about Kabak. Obviously, loaned in January, from Schalke. There's an £18 million option to buy for Liverpool. Do you think that will be taken up? Because obviously, you know, you'd think they've got Van Dijk coming back, they've got Matip coming back, they've got Gomez coming back, and the emergence of Nat Phillips as well. So with all that, do they really want to bring in Kabak as well? Especially if they are going to be bringing in Konate in the summer, as has been rumoured. Because Kabak really hasn't been all that impressive, especially when you compare him to Nat Phillips.
I don't think either have been particularly impressive. I think the game that obviously exposed them was the Real Madrid first leg, where it was just error after error after error. And although, you know, the second leg did finish 0-0, they did look a bit shaky at times. I mean, you can't be doing that in the Premier League. I mean, I know they're only young, but you've been signed to Liverpool to do the job. They obviously perceive you as being ready. I don't understand why they don't use Ben Davies. He's obviously more experienced. So I don't, you know. Is he there on loan?
No, they bought him for $3.5 million.
That baffles me. I think 18 million is a lot as well. I mean, considering he came from Schalke, who, you know, just lost 4-0. I think it just shows, you know, that they were crap defensively anyway. When he left, they were rock bottom. And after he's left, they're still rock bottom. So,
yeah.
He's only there because David Wagner recommended him to Klopp, and Klopp and him are good mates.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been too impressed by Kabak. I don't know. I think Phillips has been really good, especially, you know, obviously when he first started out, he didn't look as good. But I think he's really come into his own this season as Phillips. I really like him personally. I think especially if you put him next to someone like Van Dijk, I think he'd really shine with Phillips. I think he's more than good enough to be in this Liverpool team next season. But as for Kabak, yeah. Well, I mean, personally, I'd have him over Gomez, not Phillips.
Over Matip, then?
Maybe. I don't think there's much in it.
If they sign...
But I definitely think he's good enough to be part of the squad.
If they sign Konate, does he get a look in?
Well, it depends who they let go.
I'd imagine Matip, just because of his age.
Yeah. Well, I think
let him on the arse, you know, letting centre backs go, they let Lovren go, and then he had to call up the academy players, had to loan in a player, and then bring in a player from the Championship. So.
I mean, I don't know. I think he'll get a look in next season, Nat Phillips. I think he's been too impressive to not get a look in. I think he will feature. But I mean, have you got else you're wanting to add on to this game, or have we move on? We'll move on to your beloved Chelsea. I'm sure you're going to be a bit more positive than you were last week about them.
Yeah. 4-1. I mean, I wish we kept a clean sheet, but, you know, Benteke in the end, you know, it's a bit of an impossible task when it's on this day. Not quite, you know, Aston Villa Benteke, but, you know, he's still pretty proficient in the air.
Yeah, after about 3 seasons of being absolutely dog wank, he's actually been all right this season.
Obviously, they couldn't play Best Boy because he was unknown from us. So that left them with one less striking option, which is good. Because didn't he score last week? Or the week prior, rather?
Batshuayi?
Yeah.
I think he scored against Everton, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. So it seemed, you know, that was good that he was on loan from Matip and Pay. But Mason Mount was very good in that game. Driving forward. Havertz finally getting a goal. Been the first time for us since, I want to say, like, Morecambe, maybe. Barnes or something like that. Zuma got a brilliant goal in the air, set up by Mount. Good free kick coming in. Pulisic, Mr. Captain America, amazing game. Completely decimated that back line. Yeah, I mean, 3-0 up after half an hour, we were cruising. And that's more of the, you know, Pichel football we want to see, not what we saw the week prior.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm just checking here. It is Havertz' first goal since he scored against Morecambe on the 10th of January. And it's his first goal in the league since the 3-3 draw against Southampton on the 17th of October last year. So we definitely needed that. I think that...
I thought you got a hat-trick against Barnsley, or was that before that?
I think that was before that. But yeah, he really has sort of found his own in this sort of false nine role, because it's a lot similar to the position that he occupied for Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah, that's it. And yeah, he really does seem like he's sort of come into his own. But I will say, you know, obviously, that's left you, if you're going to play with Havertz in that false nine role, that's leaving three strikers on the bench. Obviously, Timo Werner hasn't had the best.
Well, I wouldn't consider him. He's been playing out wide mostly. So at Chelsea, he's more of a left winger, even though I do feel that his best position is striker. Tammy has been quite vocal about the fact that he may feel he has to move on if he's not going to get game time.
Well, I was about to, that was what I was going to lead into. I mean, Abraham, he's not even in the squad today for Chelsea. So, yeah, I think, I heard rumours from Fabrizio Romano on Twitter that Leicester are looking at Tammy Abraham and that Chelsea are potentially open to selling him. So, that could be a potential move, you know, obviously. Vardy's getting older. And Chelsea just don't seem to, or at least Tuchel, doesn't seem to like Tammy Abraham.
Yeah, I think he's a perfectly decent player. Maybe he's not a top six striker, but I think he's a good backup option. I mean, you know, Giroud's not going to be around forever.
Yeah, that is true, to be fair, but, you know, you don't know how long Giroud's going to be around for. And, like, if, you know, Giroud, you know, if he stays on for another couple of seasons, is Abraham going to want to sit on the bench for another couple of seasons? You know, and it all depends. Is Havertz going to remain in that false nine position? Are they going to persist with Timo Werner? You just don't know. So,
I mean, I'd rather have a goal. I don't know. If Havertz is going to start scoring, then I'm more than happy for him to play in a false nine. I mean, but is he going to get 20 goals a season?
Probably not, no.
No, so maybe we need occupying behind the striker.
But, I mean, you know, when you think about it, it is very hard to get 20 goals a season. I mean, you know, you're looking at last season, only four players got 20 goals or more. The season before that, only four players. You know, the season before that, only four players. Where, you know, it's very rare to see a 20 goal a season player nowadays.
Yeah, but we can't afford them. You know, I mean, I'd love to have Harry Kane at Chelsea, but obviously that would not happen.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of clubs would love to have Harry Kane.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't even know if we're in the Haaland race. I know he's not listed as one of his preferred destinations.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can't see Haaland leaving this season anyway. I mean, we've discussed this beforehand. He's, you know, I'm just not sure if clubs would be willing to pay what they're wanting for him. But, you know, that's not saying that they won't. But, yeah, again, I just think, you know, Chelsea are probably, still a couple of pieces away from, like, properly challenging. I think with West Ham losing today as we speak, obviously you are still contenders for the top four. It is in your hands at the moment.
Are you ruling us out of the Champions League then?
Well, yeah, that is a good point. I mean, there's only, you know, three games. But you are probably the outside bet. I mean, you know, you can never count out Real Madrid in a Champions League. And if you can get through Real Madrid, you've got PSG or Man City to play. So,
I mean, I'd rather get PSG because we've beaten Pochettino before. But it was, I mean, we'll see how we fare against City. You know, today's obviously a good testing of the waters against them.
Yeah, and you still have Man City to play away in the league. You've got quite a few tough games, actually. I'm just looking at your fixtures here. At the end of the season, you know, you've got Man City, Arsenal, Leicester and Aston Villa as your final four. That's a really tough running, as well as West Ham right before the first leg against Real Madrid.
Yeah, and
that's right a really after, tough running, actually.
Right after the second leg, we have City. Yeah, I mean, maybe Tammy Abraham might get a look in for those games because, you know, that they're going to be commanding a lot from us. Can't afford to be, you know, slacking in those kind of games. I mean, we got Brighton on Tuesday, so that could be a good, you know, time to rotate, good time to play Tammy. Trying to insert himself into the first team picture.
Yeah, it's definitely it's looking good for Chelsea. I think next season is really a chance to sort of, well, again, I'm not going to say kick on because you could win the Champions League, but it's a chance to really sort of push for that league title.
I think we just need a goal scorer and a centre back. I think we're set. I think we've got enough squad depth.
Aye.
Should we move on?
Do
you want to talk
about? I mean, I mean, there's not much to say, really. Like, I don't want to spend too much time on it because there's not much to say. First half, we spanked Newcastle. Could have easily been 3 or 4 nil up. That our first goal, it was a great run from Woods, held up the play well, got past his man, which is something he never does, gets the crossing, Vidra was there, 1-0, brilliant goal. It was just all around, it was just great to see Vidra and Wood up front together. They're linking up well, and it looks like, you know, it looks like that could work. And then, you know, second half, they bring on Saint-Maximin, they bring on Wilson, and we just can't defend against them. Like, especially Saint-Maximin. We just let Saint-Maximin run at us. Like, and we decide, oh, we don't want to tackle Saint-Maximin. So we just let him get an assist and a goal. Like,
yeah, you can't let a tricky player with so much speed get in on goal like that.
Exactly. I mean, especially that second goal. Like, I don't understand why no one just took him out and took the yellow card. Like, literally no one tackled him. Like, and then with no one to bring off the bench, because, I mean, you just look at the state of that bench. And yes, like, again, it's a second game in a row that we've lost a winnable game from being in the league.
You say look at our bench, but West Ham are in the same predicament and they're in the top four. I know you haven't got as many star players as them, but they've still got, you know, 11 first team players and essentially relying on youth and two goalkeepers to occupy their bench.
Well, I'm just looking at their bench today. You know, they've got Benrahma. They've got Lanzini to bring on. You know, Yarmolenko didn't come on. Like, you know, that automatically makes their bench better than ours. You know, you look at our bench, you know, got a goalkeeper, two youth centre-halves, a 35-year-old Phil Bardsley, Charlie Taylor, who was injured, two shit old midfielders, and two youth team strikers.
You got Jimmy Dunn on there.
Yeah, he's a centre-half. Yeah, he's a centre-half who's probably leaving at the end of the season because he's not all that.
Why is this site lists him as a midfielder? What the hell?
No, he's a centre-half. He's always been a centre-half.
Right, well, that's this site's fault. And, well, I've heard you talk about someone called Lewis Richardson, and he's on there.
Yeah, I like Lewis Richardson. I think he's going to be a top-quality player when he gets older. But he's not, you know, we shouldn't have to be relying on him when we're 2-1 down against relegation rivals. You know what I mean?
He was in our youth setup.
Yeah, he was, but he's a centre-half. Like, we're not going to bring a centre-half on, a youth team centre-half on when we're 2-1 down against Newcastle, are we?
No. What game was it where Mbongo came on? Oh, yeah, it was the Chelsea game. And he had your best chance.
Hmm.
He had to hit the post and went out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's all that Mbongo, really. I mean, especially, I saw his, he had played an hour for our under-23s against Norwich under-23s.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked so clumsy. Like, because he's not a kid. He's 23, I think. He's either 22 or 23. So he's not. It's not like he's a kid. Like, and he just doesn't look ready for senior football. Yeah, he's 22. Like, he just doesn't look ready for senior football.
I'm 21. I think I'm a kid. But
all right. Well, you know, when it comes to football, you know, 35-year-olds in real life aren't pensioners, are they? What?
No. I mean, I got to bring this up because a lot of questions were asked of Steve Bruce and Dubravka, because they were questioning why on earth would you drop Darlow? He's probably been one of the best goalkeepers of the season. But I think he definitely silenced a lot of critics because he was incredible in that match.
Oh, yeah. I think people's forgot how good Dubravka's been for the past couple of seasons. I mean, he came out and just collected everything. I mean, you know, not that we've created that much in the second half, but, you know, he played really well. Yeah, 100%. He made some crucial saves to keep it, you know, 1-0 at half-time.
Mm-hmm. And had you not been quite lazily defending, maybe you could have held out for a 1-0 win. I mean,
oh, we could have easily won that game. We should have easily won that game, considering the chances that we had, and considering
their goalkeeper was just sensational.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we should have won the game. There's no doubt about it. It's just Tarks and me just decided not to defend St. Maximin.
Do you think Tarkowski's going to leave?
Oh yeah, he's going to leave. He don't give a fuck anymore. He's off.
Where do you think he'll go?
I don't know, to be completely honest with you. I mean, it could potentially be West Ham, because I know Dawson's only on loan there. Oh no, he signed, didn't he? Never mind.
Might mean that they do need a new centre-back. He was atrocious.
Aye. But I don't know, really. I don't know where he could go, but I do think we'll sell him. Because he clearly doesn't want to stay, so we have to get rid of him. There's no doubt about it. Right?
I always resent players who don't give their all for their current team. Because, you know, surely even if your heart's somewhere else, you should be playing for that move.
Yeah, just so that teams actually want you.
Yeah.
Like,
it's such a backwards logic.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, for most of the season, he's been brilliant. But it's just these past couple of games, he just doesn't look like he gives a fuck anymore. I don't know. I mean, we'll see in the summer. I mean, but I cannot see him being a Burnley player. We're going to move on to the West Ham-Leicester game then. Both Lingard and Iheanacho get bagging a brace. Iheanacho, you know, his 90th minute goal wasn't enough to complete the comeback. It seems like literally as soon as Harry started slating him on one of these episodes, he's gone on a purple patch. But yeah, what were your thoughts on this game, Harry?
Very entertaining for the neutral. I felt that, you know, Leicester should have won it. I think, you know, well, I'm just looking at the stats here. West Ham got 3 goals from 4 shots. I mean, that just showed how poor their defending was.
Yeah.
We saw it today, and we've seen it time and time again by West Ham, by Leicester. They just seem to drop off at the back. I mean, the game against City, they just seemed so lazy, ill-organised. You know, had West Ham turned up in that game, they would have probably conceded more, especially in the form that Lingard's in. I know Diop got a goal just out of offside, so, you know, that's a fourth they could have. And Iheanacho shouldn't be coming to the rescue to a team that should be dominating. And like you said, they almost spurred on a late comeback, you know. But the game was well and truly done. I mean, it seems like West Ham, besides today, once they get 3 goals, their defence, it just goes into comfort mode. You saw it in the Arsenal game, they 3-0 up, and they were making serious goals. It was...
Yeah.
And then today, against Newcastle, I mean, I mentioned Craig Dawson. I mean,
We're
looking at new centre back, and as you mentioned, could be James Tarkowski.
I mean, you know, it depends. I mean, I think Dawson's been really good this season. I think, you know, if he was a few years younger, he'd be knocking on the door for the England squad. I think he's been brilliant this season, but, you know, obviously, the game today, he didn't play well.
I'd agree he's been good this season, but as of late, it's been dreadful.
And it did feel like West Ham sort of took their eye off the ball a little bit, as we saw in the Arsenal game as well. You know, obviously going... Did they go 3-0 up or did they go 3-1 up? I think they went 3-0 up, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, exactly. And they ended up drawing that. They almost drew this game as well. It feels like sort of, you know, they go on a cruise control. And I can understand how frustrating that would be to, you know, lose, you know, that big of a lead. I don't know if it's a mentality thing or what. They really struggle to maintain a lead, West Ham, as of late. And as for Leicester, it just feels like it happens every season under a Brendan Rodgers team. They start off so well. I mean, Leicester were, you know, there were people were on about Leicester challenging for the title. But now, you know, they might not even finish in the top 4. You know, we saw it last season with Leicester. We saw it the season when Liverpool almost won the league. They start off so well and then they just tail off Brendan Rodgers teams.
Yeah, I mean, are they knackered? Is there a lack of squad? I'd definitely say there's a lack of squad depth. I mean,
They have been unlucky with injuries this season. I mean, considering two of their most dangerous attacking threats in Maddison and Barnes have been injured for a large chunk of this season.
Yeah, that's two massive misses. How many goals Vardy's got?
He's been quieter this season than he has the past few seasons as Vardy. Not saying that he hasn't been good, but
Yeah. I mean, Lingard only joined in January. He's got 9. And that he's got more than Barnes, who's been out of action since February.
Yeah, exactly. So they've had similar times of gameplay, really. But, I mean, Barnes wasn't really just a pure goal scorer, was it? Because he wasn't really forward. I like Harvey Barnes anyway. I think, you know, if he'd have continued his form without getting injured, I think he'd have definitely been in the on the fringes at least of the England squad. I think he's been brilliant.
Agreed.
And Iheanacho as well. I mentioned him sort of briefly during the start of this segment. He's got 9 goals in his last 5 games for Leicester. I mean, he's really hit a purple patch. Again, you know, seemingly after you've criticised him. And he feels like a very hot and cold player, Iheanacho. When he's in good form, he's really good. But then he'll go 7 or 8 games without scoring.
I'd put that down to the fact that he's not playing that often. Rather than, you know, lack of form. I mean, he's using the secondary to Vardy, but now Rodgers is now using both up top. But that means that if one of them gets injured, they're kind of screwed. I mean, could they put Ayoze Perez up top?
I mean, I guess they could. I mean, he's played in that sort of number 10/9 role a lot. You know, similar to what Iheanacho has occupied. I just don't think he's as good as Iheanacho. I think he's definitely made that sort of almost like proto neo number 10 role his own, really. You know, I think he's really, I just think he's improved a lot these past couple of seasons.
Yeah, agreed. How much did Leicester pay for him from City? 18 million, wasn't it?
I was about to say, I've no idea, but I think in my head I thought around about 20 million-ish.
Yeah.
Which for, you know, a player who's still only young, like, it's a decent bit of business, that.
Yeah. With Vardy, his retirement's obviously impending, probably the end of next season, would you make Iheanacho your star striker? Look to get someone else.
I think he's definitely earned the chance to prove himself as Leicester's main man. I think whenever he does play, I think he plays really well. And yeah, I think he's definitely earned a chance. I mean, he's 24 years old. He's, you know, sort of getting into his prime. And he has a goal roughly every 100 minutes this season for Leicester. So I definitely think that he's earned the chance to prove himself as the main man for Leicester, definitely. You know, obviously, if in January it's not worked out, you can bring someone else in. But I think it would definitely be unfair to bring someone else in and keep Iheanacho as a second choice.
I mean, I think they do need a sign striker just as, like... Because if they are now going to use 2 up top, with, I don't know how long Barnes is out, actually. But if they are going to, you know, operate with 2 up top anyway, would you look at getting, you know, a couple strikers as backups?
Yeah, I would, personally. I think, obviously, Ayoze Perez can play there. I think, you know, I'm not sure what the situation is with Leicester's youth team, if they've got any strikers that could step up there. But, you know, I think definitely looking at a striker would be a role. If you are going to play with 2 up top, I think if you're going to play with 1 up top, I think you're more than fine with what they have. But, yeah, if they're going to play with 2 up top, I think definitely they should be looking at a forward. Maybe Tammy Abraham, as has been rumoured.
Well, I'd imagine they'd have to pay quite a bit to get Tammy. I'm thinking 20 to 40 million.
I think 20 million would be a good deal. If they could get Abraham for 20 million, I'd take that easily.
Well, I wouldn't want him to go for 20 million, to be honest.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, is that it would be a bargain if Leicester could get him for 20 million.
I'm just looking at their youth academy. It doesn't look like they've got any stars as such.
Hmm.
Oh, that Tavares, he was really good, actually.
Oh, that Portuguese midfielder?
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever he plays, I like Tavares. I think he's decent. I think he could end up being a sort of another Wilfred Ndidi type. Yeah, I like him when he plays, but I mean, you know. I mean, I can't say I'm a regular watcher of Leicester's under 23, so I can't really comment on what their youth players are like.
Well, their top scorer has 6 goals. His name is Jacob Wakening.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound too impressive, I can't lie. 6 goals in for youth football. I'm assuming he's a forward. That's not exactly that impressive. What league are they in? Are they in the Premier League 2 or are they in another
Premier
league?
Premier League 2, yeah.
What,
in so 6 and 14 games?
Oh, in 14 games? Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah, that. Do you think that Tavares will go out unknown, or do you think they'll try to use him more?
I think they'll try and use him more. I think Rodgers, well, he seems like he's a fan of him anyway. So, because he has featured quite a few times this season. So.
He's played twice. He played 71 minutes against Brighton, and that was where, you know, he hit the post.
Hmm.
He played 15 minutes against you.
I was about to say, I remember him coming on against us. And he's featured on the bench quite a few times as well. So, I mean, I reckon he'll probably look to give him some more minutes next season. I think he definitely does look promising.
Mm. Well, Leicester rumoured to go for... what's his name? Tarkowski? I know they bid in January.
Well, they were rumoured in the summer to be getting for him. I didn't hear anything about in January. I mean, I could see him going there, potentially. It really depends on what they're going to do with Johnny Evans. I mean, personally, I think he's better than Johnny Evans anyway. But, I mean, Johnny Evans is getting old. And it depends whether they feel like they need a replacement for him, whether they're going to stick with the three at the back formation. I know they started off the season playing four at the back. It sort of switched into a three at the back formation, mainly out of circumstance. I don't know if they're going to stick with it or not. But if they do, I think they could definitely be looking at another centre-back. And Tarkowski could be a potential option. I think he's, you know, definitely could play at that level. Definitely.
I think Fofana's been brilliant at the back.
Mm. Yeah, to say he's only 20 years old, he plays like a player who's much more mature.
Mm. Sugunchu, he's hit and miss.
He was good. I'm not going to say he was a one-season wonder, but I think people's views of him last season are clouding what he's been like this season. I think he's definitely been poor this season.
Mm. So maybe that's the man to replace with Tarkowski.
Mm. Yeah.
I think they need to look at more attack and midfielder options.
Mm.
Dennis Pratt doesn't look all that.
I don't know. I like Dennis Pratt. I think he puts in a couple of decent games every now and then.
Definitely a wide player.
Mm.
Probably out on the right.
Well, I mean... They brought in Under, and, you know, I think the sort of criticism of Under is that he hasn't really fit. So, you know, are you going to want a similar player to Under?
We don't get Under, then. He's only there on loan anyway, so...
No, but I'm saying, do you want a, you know, a wider player when, you know, you sort of play, Leicester play very narrowly?
Get an inverted winger.
Yeah.
I don't know who can sort of play that role.
Well, I don't know who's available in Europe, really.
We've strayed from the game, anyway.
Yeah, we have. But I mean, you know, I think we've covered most of what we were going to talk about the game, really. Do you want to, unless you've got else to say, we're going to move on to Man United and Spurs? I mean, I'll let you go first. I won't say anything. What are your initial thoughts on this game?
Well, I think we have to talk about the big red flag in the first half, that disallowed goal, for one of the most softest fouls you'll ever see. Fouls is in big quotation. Because it really wasn't. If that's a foul, then practically everything in football should be banned. I think because Son made a meal of it, I don't think the referee... Well, actually, VAR agreed with him, didn't they?
Yeah, it went to VAR. It was initially a goal. It was overturned by VAR.
I can't see any reasoning how that's a foul.
No, me neither, to be honest with you.
I'm glad it's against United, but just for the sake of it being, you know, football and it's times in the game, if that happened to me, Chelsea, I'd be furious.
Yeah, 100%.
Because Spurs weren't at the races.
Yeah, I think Edison Cavani had a really good game, I'll say. Obviously, that disallowed goal, but he got a goal, which was actually allowed. And I think it just sort of shows, that United play far better with an actual, physical number nine than when they play with Martial up front. And I think they definitely need to look at, if Cavani is going back to South America in the summer, they definitely need to look at replacing him with another proper centre-forward.
I mean, when they tend to spend big money, they tend to flop. I mean, Di Maria, Pogba, Sanchez.
I don't know. Pogba hasn't been a flop, I won't say.
For the price tag, he has.
Well, yeah, because he was the most expensive player at that point. Like,
exactly. He's a flop.
I mean, I think it's a bit harsh to call him a flop. I mean, I don't think he's been...
I don't think he's done anything memorable. Like, you can't... There's not a moment that you can pick out where you go, yeah, he's world-class, because he's not consistent.
Well, I think the end of last season, and at points this season, I think he's definitely shown his quality. I mean, the difference between when you have a midfield of... this season, when you've had a midfield of Pogba and McTominay, and McTominay and Fred, has been, it's been night and day, really. And especially since now he's found a new role out on that left-hand side, using his physicality, adding a new dimension to his game. I really think he's finally starting to come into his own a little bit.
It's hard because everyone gets overshadowed by Fernandes.
Yeah, that is a good point. I think that... Yeah, I don't know. I think he's been all right, Pogba. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think he's been worth 90 million, but I think he's been a decent player for him.
I mean, it's just all the drama around him. Is he leaving? Is he not? I think we're finally at a point where, he's staying now.
I think a lot of that was probably like holdover from the Mourinho sort of era. Because he was obviously... Mourinho wasn't his biggest fan, and he wasn't a big fan of Mourinho either, so...
Well, yeah, following the fallout of the game, we've seen that spilling into the media now. And then there's been accusations by Mourinho towards Solskjaer.
Yeah, I mean, that's just classic Mourinho deflection, that.
Like, yeah, and that is exactly what Pogba said.
Yeah, it is. It's just classic Mourinho deflection. He doesn't want to talk about how he got it tactically wrong in that game. He just wants to talk about, oh, Solskjaer, I think you should feed your kids. And I mean, obviously, Solskjaer's son Noah has come out and said, yeah, he did feed me. Probably because Marcus Rashford was going to put all his head on a spike if he found out he wasn't feeding his kids.
What?
Yeah, because he's all banging on about feeding the kids, is Rashford.
Hang on, no. What? Were you on about Mourinho and not feeding... What?
Yeah, do you not hear that?
No.
Well, Solskjaer came out and said... I think it must have just been somewhat lost in translation or something. He come out and said, if my son had dived the way Son dived, he wouldn't have been fed. And Mourinho's come out and said... You know, instead of talking about the game, he said, I think you should investigate that if he's not been feeding his kids. You know, that's not a good parent, like,
Okay.
Advice. You know, like I said, classic Mourinho deflection.
I think he needs to leave football. I think he's done.
I think he's done at club football. I think international management's a lot different. I think maybe that could be a potential route back into football for him. But I think in terms of club football, he's finished as a top-level manager. Like, usually you get at least 2 good years with Mourinho as your manager. But Spurs had a good, like, 3 or 4 months. Like,
I mean, considering the start of the season where all of the top six were, you know, in complete disarray, Spurs were on top. And then they just let that go.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you think he'll stay? Or what do you think?
I can't see Levy sacking him. I think that... Mainly because I was watching a video by T4 Football. It was really good. You should check it out. Basically saying that if Mourinho were to be sacked, he would get 30 million.
Holy shit.
He's on a £15 million a year contract and he's got 2 years left. So he'd be due £30 million if he got sacked.
Oh, I'd probably just see it out and like the nerd then.
Exactly, yeah. Because so, £30 million, that's a new signing, that. So, you know. I mean, you know, you could argue that Mourinho leaving and bringing in a new manager would be as good as a signing, but... You know, but I'm not sure if Levy would see it that way or not. Because Levy seems, you know, he admires Jose Mourinho like a dog admires its owner. Like, it's just mental how blinded he is by him. You know, how easy he just dismissed Pochettino, one of Spurs' best managers in forever. Got them to a Champions League final and he dismisses him the season afterwards because it looks like Arsenal might get Jose Mourinho. Like,
yeah. I'd assume they would have retained beforehand, but yeah, it was very sly and underhanded to do that. Got your current manager.
Exactly, yeah. And
Pochettino is one anyway because he's at PSG now. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, don't get me wrong, but I think, you know, he clearly liked Spurs, did Poch, so...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not going to say he would rather be at Spurs, because realistically he probably wouldn't, but I'm sure he could have done without the drama and the fallout and all the admin. Yeah. And he didn't get a chance to say goodbye to the squad as well. It was just so, like... underhanded, and you know, considering he got onto a Champions League final literally 6 months ago, you know, and it's Spurs, it's not like it's Real Madrid.
Yeah, that doesn't happen every day at that club.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just wonder another thing about Spurs is how long are they going to keep hold of Harry Kane? How long can they be trophyless? You know.
Well, the thing is with Harry Kane is that he's probably got one more big contract in him, you'd say. You know, he's 28, 29 in the summer. He's probably got one more big contract in him. Is he going to make that move in the summer? Our team's going to want to pay, because Levy will want at least 100 million for him. And our team's going to want to pay that for an injury prone 29 year old, no matter how good he is.
Yeah.
Do you really think so? In this current COVID climate, that teams would want to pay over 100 million for injury prone Harry Kane, who's 29?
Yes.
Well, I think maybe an English club might, but I can't see any foreign clubs doing that. Well, and Levy would probably want. What's that?
I can't see him going abroad.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, Levy would want even more than 100 million from an English club.
I think the two clubs that stick out for me that he'd go to are the two Manchester clubs.
Mm. Yeah, and Levy would not want to sell. I mean, realistically, Levy doesn't have to sell, and if it doesn't matter if Kane wants to leave or not, ultimately, whether Harry Kane leaves or not is down to Levy, not down to Kane, not down to any of the other clubs, and Levy doesn't want him to go, so.
And I don't think Kane is the type to kick up a fuss.
Oh, no. He's obviously, you know, as was shown last season when he wanted to leave, he just gets on with it, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't see Harry Kane leaving Spurs. I can't see anyone be willing to pay what Spurs would want for him. But we'll see. You know, could easily be proved wrong. Yeah, I think. We haven't really talked much about the game here, but there's not really that much to say, really. I mean, it's just Mourinho got it tactically wrong.
Outside of it is a lot more interesting.
Mm. Yeah, definitely, 100%. I know you're going to want to watch the Chelsea game in about a quarter of an hour, so we'll try and speed through the rest of these games. Arsenal beat Sheffield United 3-0. I'll stand out in this game to you.
Yeah, I mean, that was expected, wasn't it?
Aye.
Sheffield United pay for. Have you seen their chairman's resigned?
What, the Sheik?
Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, I've not seen that. Bloody hell, so Wilder left because of the Sheik, and then the Sheik's resigned? Like,
what? Well, I know one of them has.
Ah, right. So it might not be the...
I know...
It's probably not Prince Mohammed, then.
No. It's, I don't know which one it was, but he's the chairman of it.
Ah, right.
I think they might be family.
Right.
Because they share the same last name.
Hmm. Yeah. Why I hadn't heard anything about that, so you probably know more about it.
I'm wondering if the owners want to sell now, because the chairman's, resigning.
Hmm. I don't know.
Could Sheffield United end up like Bolton, Wigan, Sunderland?
I don't know. I mean, I think the problem with those clubs is that they had players on really high wages that just didn't care and they couldn't shift them on. So I don't think that's the case with Sheffield United. I think they're more likely to be like a Stoke, where they're just mid-table in the Championship, rather than seeing them, you know, plummet down the leagues.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, not really much to say about this match, is there really? West Brom managing to beat Southampton 3-0. I mean, that was another surprise result there.
Racist VAR.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck were they doing? Like, oh my God, like, It just makes you laugh. That's worse than the sending off of Kieran Gibbs when it was Oxlade-Chamberlain who handballed it, or whether it was the other way around, I can't remember. But that's worse than that, because they literally went back and looked. It wasn't like, you know, in the heat of the moment, you saw the wrong person. They literally had video evidence. And
the excuse was shoddy.
Why, what was the excuse?
Something like they couldn't decipher whether Diagne was offside, even though the lines were clearly looking at...
It was clearly onside. It was clearly onside. It was a mile onside. Honestly, that is just... Like, no idea what they were thinking. But luckily for West Brom, anyway, they got the justice. I think it's too late for West Brom, personally. But at least they're going down, you know, showing a little bit of character, showing a little bit of fight. You know, they're not going down on a whimper. And I think, especially, I think Matias Pereira is playing to put himself in the shop window, because he's definitely good enough to play in the Premier League.
Agreed, yeah. Callum Robinson's starting to step up now.
His first Premier League goal that he scored that isn't against Chelsea. He's turned into a decent little forward. I mean, the signing of Carlan Grant has been a little bit disappointing for West Brom, so they've needed a forward to step up, and Robinson's, you know, he's done all right for him. He did all right for him last season as well, to be fair. He wasn't there. He was at Preston, wasn't he? Never mind, I'm chatting shit. But he's been decent this season, I'll say.
What's the next game?
It was a 0-0 between Brighton and Everton. So what y'all wanted to say on that?
Boring.
Brighton dominated, but as usual, they couldn't take the chances. Well, it was not really.
It wasn't boring, actually. I thought Brighton do make a 0-0 look exciting. It's just score, please.
Yeah, again, they just couldn't take their chances. But yeah, I mean, that's about it, really. I mean, we'll speed through the Champions League games here. I mean, we'll start off with the Chelsea Porto game. I'm sure you have a couple of thoughts on that.
We just sat comfortably at the back. Not too concerned about the loss. I mean, if we were going to lose, that's the kind of goal to lose by, not two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was absolutely nothing that you could have done about that. I mean, that is just a world-class goal. There's no more than that. There's no Chelsea could have done to defend that. You can't be mad. I wouldn't be mad if Burnley conceded that sort of goal. You can't be mad at that.
Yeah, I mean, if that was Lampard, we would have lost quite heavily.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because we were conceding a lot of chances. And I think Tuchel has instilled a lot of like defensive ideas into the centre-backs. Alonso certainly improved under him.
Well, I think it's just that three at the back formation. You know, Alonso can't play in a back four.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he'd be just a decent winger in general. I think, he does have decent finishing. He does have a shot on him. And he's good at, he has that pace to bomb down the wing. It's just he can't defend.
Summed up. I thought Hudson-Odoi does well as right wing back, but again,
I thought that as well. I mean, I thought it was a little bit odd when Tuchel put him there first, in the first place, but he's done all right there whenever he's played there this season. Obviously not his preferred position, but obviously Tuchel sees something in him there. could end up becoming a permanent position for him there. I can't see it working in a back four, but, you know, in a back five, I think it could work.
What was the other games?
It was Bayern Munich and PSG. Another, you know, instant classic of a game. Obviously, there weren't as many goals. But again, just a brilliant sort of end-to-end game. And
Fernandes was sensational.
He was, yeah.
You know, I mean, it takes something special to deny Mbappe running at you. And he was a brick wall every time. I thought Boateng was very good as well. I thought once Tchouaméni scored, I thought that would spur on some more goals, but unfortunately not. If Lewandowski was out there, you know, what kind of game it would turn into.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Choupo-Moting was all right. I thought he took his goals really well, to be fair to him. Like, I mean, he scored two over the two legs, so you can't be too critical of him.
Yeah, but it takes him four shots to get it done.
Yeah, but, you know, he scored more than any of the other Bayern players over two legs, so...
Yeah,
and I feel that, you know, just boiling it down to, oh, well, Lewandowski wasn't there, would be a bit of a disservice to PSG, because I think tactically, Pochettino, you know, he just got everything right against Bayern Munich. You know, he exploited the high defensive line. He exploited the, you know, the physicality that PSG had in that midfield. You know, he exploited the raw pace of Neymar and Mbappe. I think tactically, it was brilliant from Pochettino. And I don't think even with Lewandowski, I think Bayern Munich would have struggled.
I think the first leg would definitely have turned out differently.
Maybe, yeah, but I think, you know, in this second leg especially, I thought PSG were by far the better team. I mean, you know, you're looking at them hitting the post twice, right?
Yeah. Very true, very true.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people have made PSG favourites now after that. You know, what do you think? Do you reckon PSG, you know, are they your favourites? Do you think they can get past Man City in the semis?
Well, I think if you knock out the holders, you're certainly the favourites. I mean, that takes some doing. So yeah, certainly.
They are looking really good at PSG, to be fair. Do we move on? What were your thoughts on the City and Dortmund game?
What was the score of that again?
It was 2-1. Jude Bellingham got the opener for Bayern Munich to put them ahead on aggregate, but then a Mahrez goal and a Foden goal ended up sealing it for Man City.
So, Bellingham should have got a goal earlier than that. Was awful refereeing. I thought the second goal was sensational. 17 years old and doing that.
Yeah. I mean, he hadn't even taken his A-levels yet, and he's producing that. He's scoring in Champions League quarterfinals.
Mahrez, I think that was a definite penalty. Emery Chan, was at fault for all three goals at that point. And then that Foden goal, you could have said Hits should have done better, but I think he sees it late. And you can see that City are the most happiest when Foden scores. There's a lot of unity when he scores.
Yeah, it does feel like he is a very popular player, is Foden, in that Man City squad, definitely. Which is weird considering he's basically the golden child of Pep. So he must obviously be a very likeable character. You know, obviously he must put the effort in, otherwise, you know, Pep wouldn't be picking him consistently. And he probably wouldn't be as good of a player as he is at the moment, because he is sensational, is Foden.
Exactly. You cannot, you cannot see. You have to be able to see past that he's Pep's golden child because he has the talent to show it. I mean,
100%, yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that he's not deserving of it by any means. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're, you know, I don't know, like Bernardo Silva, for example, you know, you could be thinking, oh, well, why is he getting picked and I'm not then? Is it just because he's the 5 years younger than me? But that doesn't seem to be the case with this Man City team. He seems to be really popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the bottom of the game was pretty dull.
Yeah. Again, I think it just sums up Liverpool's season, really. They were just stale going forward. They just, you know, Salah, Mane, Firmino didn't produce anything. And I think this summer they need a big attacker to come in. Not necessarily saying they need to, you know, sell Salah or sell Mane, but I think they need a big attacking player to come in and just shake it up a little bit because they're just stale. I mean, they'll be lucky if they qualify for the top four next season. If they finish in the top four this season. With Van Dijk coming back, they'll improve defensively. And I think, but I just think offensively they've been poor this season, probably even more than the defence. So I think they do need a big, you know, sort of winger or a big striker to come in and sort of shake it up. And then they will probably be in title contention again.
No, I think this team's going to go dormant.
Do you reckon?
I think they've had their coming out show. I think they're going to go back to the Liverpool, you know, old, you know, 2000s Liverpool, where they get, you know, a few successes, but they won't get a lick of the title.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. I mean, we'll go through the Europa League really quickly. You know, Arsenal ended up absolutely spanking Slavia Praga, which, you know, good.
Yeah. Kadula only getting 10 games. What were the other ties? Oh, yeah, Man United beat Granada.
Man United did beat Granada, yeah. Cavani scoring again, you know, it just shows his quality, really. Yeah, so they're through. Villarreal ended up beating Dynamo Zagreb 2-1. And Roma drew 1-1 with Ajax. I didn't watch any of those games, so, I mean, I don't know if you've got anything to add there.
I watched the Roma match.
All right, yeah, what do you make of it?
Good. Roma were, once it went 1-1, Ajax were on the attack and Roma just, you know, happy to sit back. There was a lot of added time, remember, and they just, Pedro is the experienced player you need in that position, you know, just go up late on. He just held the ball up in their own half. I do wonder how they're going to do against United because they've got some ex-Premier League players, the likes of Kolarov, Dzeko, Pedro. You know? I do wonder how they're going to fare because they're obviously past their prime.
I was about to say, they do have an ageing squad. I mean, Dzeko's still got that quality about him, but, you know, I think you'd have to say that United are the favourites for the Europa League.
Do you think... I can't... Arsenal versus Villarreal is interesting because Unai Emery now manages Villarreal. So, he'll obviously want revenge.
Aye.
Do you think it'll be Man United-Arsenal final?
I mean, I think it will be Man United beating Roma. I've not watched too much of Villarreal this season. But I know that they have a pretty solid defence, but they just draw too many games. And I think, you know, if Arsenal can, you know, use players like Saka, like Aubameyang, to their potential to get in behind, they definitely could go through. You know, and I mean, a lot of those players will have played under Emery. They'll know how Emery sets the team up. They'll know how, you know, what they didn't like coming up against when they played under Emery. So that'll be, you know, something that'll be in the back of the players' minds, I'm sure. But I do definitely think it'll be a tight fought game. And I think Arsenal definitely could slip up. But if I was a betting man, I'd say it would probably be a Man United Arsenal final.
Hopefully, Arsenal don't get their first European trophy because I still like being the.
Yeah, I think the favourites are definitely Man United. I think if it's Man United Arsenal, I can't see Arsenal winning that personally.
Yeah, I'd agree. That's like worst case scenario as a final for me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Don't want Arsenal and don't want Man United. Best case scenario, Roma Villarreal.
But yeah, I mean, that's it for this week. I'll let you go off and watch Chelsea. But just before we go, have you got anything you want to plug? It's been a bit of a shorter episode this week.
Okay. I'll plug my Twitter, at HazardChelseaFC.
Right, and I'll plug mine, at IWGPChrisBFC, and you can follow the podcast, at AntiFootballPod. That is it from us, and we'll see you lot next time.